show. We're doing things backwards again today, which means I'm Katie and that's James. And that, of course, makes this our second official episode of CNS Extra. The show where we just, you know, it's a freeform space. We get to all the exciting things that don't fit into our mainline show. And, you know, it's number two. And this means that it is a very special episode because I get to have two guests or two people I'm hosting today. We've got our very special and infamous Halo veteran guest, Nick from the Loud Thumbs podcast. Everybody, of course, knows him from some of our previous episodes. We've done a lot of great stuff together. So, I mean, we all know Nick, but Nick, just in case there's someone new on here, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of great stuff you do over at the Loud Thumbs?
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be back again. This is always fun with you guys. We have a Loud Thumbs podcast episodes that we put out every Monday. We also do some movie stuff every other Wednesday, and you can see Katie and James on those as well. They come over and enjoy some movie discussions with us. It's a blast. So check those out. We do on Fridays, we have an exclusive YouTube that we'll put out called The Power Up Bar, where my co-host Josh, who is my cousin, so it's kind of similar to Circles and Squares.
Similar vibes going on.
Family show, right? Similar vibes, yep. So we have a little fun competition in a way, we'll see, where we do some 20 questions and we pick a video game themed drink or can that maybe inspires a video game. And we try to figure out what that game is that matches the drink. So we do that on Fridays exclusively on YouTube. But all of our stuff is available on podcast platforms everywhere. We're on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube everywhere. So check us out at Loud Thumbs, and we would love to have you guys over there. Listen to some of our stuff. It's just a blast. Like, we just have fun doing it. That's what it's about. Just fun, good times.
That's why I'm awesome. Here today.
And that is exactly. Yes. That's why we all got up today to talk some Halo Infinite. And I think it's going to be a good one. I'm excited you guys are here because I'm definitely the Halo noob. But we will definitely, all of Nick's stuff will be in the descriptions below. So yeah, check that out if you haven't already. And if not, we're gonna have him back on again at some point, and we're gonna bug you again to check him out next time.
Perfect. I'm okay with this.
Wonderful. Okay, so we'll get into it then. Like we said, we're talking Halo Infinite. This is a big, exciting game for a lot of people. I know we've got the Game Pass. There's no excuse not to check it out. And I think we'll start off maybe just going through our history with Halo. And our hopes, expectations for Infinite being the next like big gen game coming out. And I know this one was delayed and it had so much like expectations going on and felt like we waited forever for it to show up. So if it lived up to the hype and what kind of game we've got on our hands. But for me personally, I have played Halo maybe 10 times if I really had to take a guess, and never anything past like a game that's 10 years old. I've only ever played the old ones. I know I really like the energy sword. That's cool as hell.
Damn right.
And you know what? It's just, I've never owned an Xbox. And every time I play with people who are like big Halo people and they just kick my ass. And like, I just spent 2 hours getting absolutely humbled. So I'm excited to kind of learn a little bit today along with everybody else. So James, why don't you tell me how you feel about Halo and
So I feel like I've got an interesting perspective here as kind of like the middleman between you and our veteran Nick here. So Halo is something I've always kind of had in my life, I think, but never really been kind of at the forefront. I have a ton of memories, you know, growing up. I was like 10 or 11 years old when Halo 2 was just really big on the Xbox, and I remember having so many sleepovers with a couple good buddies, and like actually his dad used to play with us too. We used to get online and have like those four player Halo 2 matches. It was like a good time, and Halo 2 is really the one that for me, and I'm sure a lot of people, is like the big touchstone there. I have played Halo 1 as well, mostly the campaign. I played the Halo 3 campaign, and then ever since then I've kind of fallen off of the series aside from like a few multiplayer nights here and there. But I mean, for Infinite, I mean, this is easily the biggest release we've been waiting for Xbox for a number of years. And so for me, it's like, you know, just as a fan of the games industry and like Halo being a pillar of, you know, some of the most iconic games in the medium, like it just was exciting for me to finally have an Xbox and be ready to go like day one and actually try this out. I wish that I was more connected with the franchise leading up to Infinite, just so I had more, you know, more references and some more of that hype that a lot of people had. But I mean, I still obviously very excited to play the game. I've enjoyed what I've played so far. I'll leave it at that for now. But I mean, yeah, I would consider myself, like, you know, I'm a fan of Halo. I'm just not a, you know, an expert. Maybe I'll say that. But Nick, please enlighten us with your Halo extensive knowledge here. I'm excited to learn a bit myself.
Well, I don't know if I'd call myself an expert, but I am a mega fan. That's for sure. My history with Halo goes to day one. I had an Xbox on day one. At the time, I was a spry 19-year-old working in retail, and it was like, here's the demo. Here's the kiosk in the store. And I'm like, okay, you know, another video game console, but, you know, let's just see what happens kind of deal.
Why is this controller so big?
My controller was enormous, that Duke, you know? And, you know, it took a lunch break and not leaving the store for that whole hour with me and a few of my friends that worked throughout the store, just going back and forth through the campaign. And we were hooked. I mean, just in that demo, they let you just do a few things, and they only teased the multiplayer function when we knew that it had a multiplayer similar to GoldenEye, which was right within that realm. I mean, GoldenEye was just a few years old. We were like, oh, well, yeah, we're down. We have to have this game now, because not only does it have a campaign that's already got us sucked in, because it let you play a part of the first world or first level, and it had a tiny little bit of open world feel to it. We were like, oh my gosh, this is totally different. We've never seen anything like this before. We have to have this. And then they smash it with that at the end of the demo. It's like, also available 1-4 multiplayer. The system link was all listed on there and all that. And you're like, you could play up to 16 people at one time. No way. You know, like, your mind was blown.
Yeah.
Cause it was just new stuff you didn't get with a console back then. It was all PC only, is the only way you were doing LANs, you know? So it was very exciting times, and I was hooked from the get-go, and I have been a huge fan ever since. And I have the proof to show it. So for your YouTube viewers, if they would love to go over there, I will describe as much as I can for any of the audio listeners as well. But I do have the OG case and everything. I have a complete edition of the original Halo Combat Evolved and the old logo that looks just like the center of the Duke.
That logo is
still fresh. And, you know, back when games came with books that described the game and everything, you know,
things. And they were like detailed characters and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it literally talks about every enemy, and, you know, the guns are described in here. It gives a lore and some background. Very cool. So that is proof. I'm not making up stories. I've had this for 20 years. Love it.
Verify. And we're all here to witness today.
That's right. And if you'll indulge me, I'll continue here. So I do have the steel case of Halo 2. That is pretty sought after these days. It is in prime condition. So metal case, back when they first started doing these weren't real common back then.
That thing is shiny.
Yep, very cool. And I'll try and get the light off of it for everybody watching, but that was an amazing thing at the time. And also, I mean, I never used these. I just had to keep them. But I have, like, you know, the little Slurpee coupons. You could go in and get, like, a Halo Slurpee.
I think you should try and go and redeem that.
I know. I should check it out. Let's see when it expired. 2004. So, well, we could try it.
Okay. We're a little past that. But, birds are good about honoring them. You never know.
You never know. The soundtrack, they talk about the soundtrack in here. The soundtrack is killer to Halo. That is something that just adds to the game.
That is one thing
so
I do know about Halo, is it does have a killer soundtrack, and that might be my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Katie, I know you love art books, and I know you like, you know, lore and backstory and everything. And this game, it continued from the first one and just got even crazier in the books going through. It even had the talks about the controller goes in here too. They talk about that, but
it's so cute.
All the weapons, and what did they do on the front? That whole surprise that happened in Halo 2, where you're playing as the Arbiter part of the time. The Arbiter is on the book to this game. They completely took everybody by surprise on that. So that was cool, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit as we continue, right? And how we kind of felt about that whole situation. And then Halo 3, this one's the big one. So this was the collector's edition case. So this one's like a blackish gray with the blue Halo logo.
It looks more like a movie case than a video game case. Like it's so like, yeah. It doesn't have like the Xbox ring around it where normally like games would. It looks like super clean.
Yep, very, very clean. The back is the same way. It's just overall look they were going for with that. And then, you know, they did the books as well. And then this is where it really gets into the art for you, Katie, is like there's literally an entire just art. Wow. It's like a comic book that you can just kind of put your own words with, but they kind of go through the pre-story before you jump into the game. And it's very cool.
That is so cool. That reminds me of, I think Mass Effect did that too, where like if you jump into game two or three, then it you like a comic that goes through one where you can kind of like make some of the choices. But that is really cool.
Yeah. And then the creme de la creme, right? I had to bring this with it. This is what my Halo 3 came with. Man. This is the Master Chief helmet. It's only about from what I was told, it's only about a half scale. Some crazy people on the internet.
Chief's a big guy.
He's 7 foot tall. He's a big dude.
Wow, Chief's a big dude. And he can't even run. Why is he that? Like,
he can run. He can run now.
Like, come on, Chief. He can run now, but it took him like 20 years to learn how to run.
yeah, he just kind of jogged in the first games. But this was when collector's editions were like in their heyday, I think. Like when they really kicked off, they did it right. I mean, this thing is amazing. It sits right in front of me as I play. It's right there on my gaming shelf. I absolutely love it. But it was very cool because it's opened at the bottom and it has a base with it. So you can actually store your games in it and then you just display it on the base. So these games have just been my collector's item for years and they've just been there, you know, inspiring me to continue to, you know, play Halo. And I haven't quit. I've been a huge Halo fan for a long time. But when 4 and 5 came out and it went from Bungie to 343, there was a lot of changes made for especially a huge fan like me that I just didn't like. And it really did put me off, kind of like you had mentioned a little, James, like you played 1, 2, and 3 campaigns and everything. And then you kind of fell off. Similar to me. That's really what I did. And it was more because they changed the multiplayer so much and the story was okay, but it didn't really hit where I wanted it to. So it didn't really hook me on that side of things. And I didn't keep revisiting the campaign like me and my buddies used to with the co-op campaign and everything you can do. But the multiplayer is really what did it. They changed the multiplayer up a little too much and a little too abruptly. And that just threw me and all of my friends off that we'd played together since, you know, the originals clearly. and it was kind of a shame, but I will say, as far as Infinite goes, it's back, baby. Like Halo's back, like it's there, guys. So this is going to be a fun one. I can't wait to talk some more about it. It's going to be great.
That's awesome. So then if I'm assuming correctly, your expectations, your hopes at least were that it was kind of like a return to formula and it captured that like classic essence of what made you so excited about Halo in the first place. And overall, you think that it has delivered that for you?
Yeah, my expectations were I wanted Combat Evolved to come back, but just be a new road. Like, you know, just get off the road you were on, do something different, but just bring back what we all lost after, you know, the first trilogy was done with. And I mean, Combat Evolved, you had mentioned your favorite, James, was probably Halo 2. Combat Evolved, if I really have to think about it, would probably be my favorite. And it's purely like nostalgia driven. I mean, there's just so many days for me that I can think back about pizza parties and my buddies over and, you know, I bought my first house in that time frame. Yeah. And it was like, you know, I have my own house now. I have like 5 empty rooms. There was a TV in every room. There was a LAN box in the middle of my house and we ran 40-foot cables throughout the whole house and we had LAN parties for days. Like we would start on Friday and be done on Sundays and go back to work. And it was some of the best times of my life. It was just absolutely a blast. And I'm still friends with 90% of those people. We play online now versus we've grown older. We have children and all that kind of stuff. But it still allows us to connect and have a good time with that. So I really did want that, all that to come back. And sure enough, it did. Like, I mean, friends of ours have been playing together for 20 years, hadn't talked to each other or done too much in probably the last 6 or 7 years. And this Halo game came out and I'm in the middle of playing a game and all of a sudden, like, my party lights up and buddies of mine that I haven't talked to in half a decade are like, hey man, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, hey man, what's up? And it was just like a total reconnect. It just made everything come forward again from that long ago. And it was a blast. I mean, I played through the campaign last night and three more, couple of the same, but some news just came on in the party and we just had a party and chatted Halo and played the campaign separately, but still had a blast. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's just so cool that a game like this, that's what games should be like.
I was just going to say that absolutely. That story right there, like, that is the power of video games for sure.
Power.
Like, of it. I can relate, not to the same extent, but just even like I played some multiplayer with my buddy, like one of the guys that I used to play a lot with, the Halo 2 multiplayer. And even that is like, for me, like a lot less powerful memories, but it still brought back like, man, I'm like, you know, a kid again with that sleepover playing Halo, but I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, so I totally get what you're saying. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know awesome. What they say? You know what they always say? If people that play Halo together stay together.
Yeah. All right. I like it. I'll just put it on a t-shirt.
But you know, that is the amazing thing about these long-running franchises. And that's why you want them to succeed so well. And even as someone who's like, I'm not a big Halo person. It was never part of my childhood. And like, it's not something that I feel really nostalgic towards or have a big feeling towards. But it is one of those games I recognize that is that for a lot of people. And so like, I'm so glad to see and hear that Infinite is being very well received, because it is a really special thing and it's carrying so much weight on its back, where it's not just Infinite, it's all of Halo. And especially like with Tumultuous, like having new developers, and it's like, well, now I've got them like Bungie's doing Destiny instead, and like, you know, they're doing the 30th anniversary event right now, and there's some Halo things, and like, it's just such a quintessential video game franchise. I feel like I logged on to Destiny the first day that it was out, and the first expansion item I got was the sword, and I was so excited. I put that thing on and used it immediately, and I was like, I'm not even a Halo person, but I was like, shit, the Halo sword's here. It's so cool, because it's just quintessential like video game history, right? And so
that's iconic. You gotta use that thing. You get it, you pick it up. It really is.
And I gotta say, there was a Halo trailer in the Game Awards the other day, and one of those enemies, like, he like chinks out like one red energy sword, and then he chinks out another one, and both of his hands are energy swords.
Yeah.
Like, that guy is so cool. But anyway, I think maybe we'll get into it a little bit. We'll kind of go through the game. I think we'll do the single player, because that's obviously the new big hot item out right now. It's only been out a few days. And then we'll maybe do some multiplayer at the end, just because I know you guys have played a bit of that, and that's exciting as well. So overall impressions of the game, I think maybe we'll kind of get into it. Like, we kind of went over like how the game feels and how it compares to the other one, so we know it's kind of back to form. James, do you also feel that way? Like, does it feel like Halo 2, or do you feel like you've missed some gaps in the middle?
No, to me, this feels like I've missed a lot of gaps. Like, it still feels like Halo, and to me, like, Halo is, it feels very unique, right? Like, Halo to me has always been a slower paced kind of shooter. You've got to be you know, I guess now you can sprint, obviously, and the grappling hook in the single player has really changed your mobility.
Grapple shot.
Yeah, James. Grapple shot. Grapple shot.
I gotta correct anybody.
I'll get it right, I promise.
He's been certified. We've already certified his Halo credit.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it feels like, I think the way to explain it, that I would describe it, is it does feel like the original Halo, but just in a modernized way. Like, what does that game feel like in 2021? Because I think if they would have not, you know, I know sprinting's been in the game for a while, but if they hadn't kind of introduced that extra movement, I think that the game might have felt a bit older, just because if you look around a lot of first person games these days, like whether you're talking about, you know, Destiny or Apex or, you know, any of the big kind of online games, they all have some interesting movement options. And for me, I think this game really introduces that to Halo in a way that feels authentic to Halo. But yeah, I mean, I think that it does such a good job of playing on those nostalgic kind of vibes of the game. Like, you're using a lot of the original weapons. Like, the Needler is always my favorite weapon in Halo. And it's still back in this game. It's got that iconic look. It plays just the same. Like, it's familiar, right? And you got the same kind of rifles. And then at the same time, there's also the This plasma grenades, which are also like a fan favorite, you know, the stick, I think, was maybe even originated in Halo. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
I think so. Yep.
Like, that's an iconic thing to me too. And so just having those, like the bones of what Halo is, but modernized to me is, has been, kind of exactly what I wanted from this. I forget exactly what your original question was, to be honest with you.
That's okay. You've done a wonderful job at answering it.
Okay.
I'm thoroughly satisfied. So good. I think maybe that's a good jumping point just to talk about some of the guns, the gameplay. Obviously, the grapple is new and exciting, and just now, kind of how that all feels.
Yeah, it feels good. Now, Nick, I had a question for you too, because one of my favorite weapons in this game, aside from the needler, is the skewer. That thing is so fun to shoot. Is that new for this game, or is that something from
skewer is never? It used to be the Spartan laser is what it was in the past. And I think a lot of people miss the Spartan laser. I don't, because I sucked with the Spartan laser. But the skewer is easier to use. But the difference in the skewer and the Spartan laser is the Spartan laser did not have a drop in it. It was literally one straight line. The skewer, it does have fall pattern, like a bow and arrow. You do have to kind of pay attention when you're using it. But it is brand new weapon for the game. It can take a warthog out in no time.
Man, I noticed that in multiplayer. I'll tell you what, it's so fun to blow those things up while people are driving around. But yeah, like the weapons to me, like the grapple shot feels great to use. It's got some good momentum to it. I mean, the guns themselves, they feel like they've got a chunkiness to them, which I really appreciate. And I think part of what I've noticed, at least just from playing the multiplayer, is this game seems to have maybe a few less weapons than some other games, but I think that makes them all feel special and like they really stand out. And you know, like if you see them on the map, you know exactly what you're getting into. It's not like you're overwhelmed and you don't run into certain weapons that often. Like you really know the arsenal you have in this game. And you know, the other thing I will say about the weapons as well, which is just a really nice detail. I always like details like this in games, is in the campaign when you're in a cutscene, whichever weapon you're currently using and you're currently holding in your hands will be in the cutscene. And stuff like that to me is just, it's fantastic, because it's, you know, it's always immersion breaking to me when you're, you know, running through a level and then a cutscene happens and then all of a sudden you're like walking through the same door that you just ran through and holding the standard weapon for that character. But instead it's like, it's very much like we're past that now. It's very modern, and wherever you were, it's like, it cuts seamlessly to the cutscene and you're just holding like whatever gun. Like I was in a cutscene the other day and Chief was holding like some weapon that he would never have had, you know, brought with him. Like I clearly picked it up off an enemy, but he's just holding it in the cutscene. And I just really like that kind of detail. The weapons feel great. I think outstanding.
That is major points to me. I'm such an advocate for, like, if you put on like a piece of armor, you should be wearing it. If you're holding a weapon, you're holding that weapon. Like, do not change me back to like stock, like, character model. Like I think that is like the biggest detail where, like, yeah, I guess it's unnecessary in like smaller games, like, so be it. You could you know, get away with having it, but like when it's done, it always puts the biggest, dumbest smile on my face. So points for Halo for that. I've got to ask, because obviously the sword is big, but the other gun, the needler, is always the gun I remember as well, because it's like just so weird and iconic, and like those alien kind of weaponry is like such a cool
specific
thing
to Halo,
does.
I think. Yeah. It's so
it
specific
is,
to Halo.
And now that we have the Wiener edition, the hot dog version, it's just only gone up in infamy. But I wanted to ask you guys, the experts, in Destiny, we got a few guns and you kind of just get them random drops. But the one, like, they do exotics in that game, which are like the really special guns that you can only have one of at a time, and they're like, they get the special abilities that other guns don't get. And so, like, you know, half the gameplay of Destiny is just chasing down and getting these cool exotic guns. And so I finished the Halo quest and got the Forerunner. I don't know if that's what it's called in Halo, but that's what they've named it for Destiny. And it is like the pistol kind of gun. Mm-hmm. It's like white, it's super clean, like it kind of like wraps around like a circle or like a half moon circle. It's this white gun. It kind of almost looks like it's 3D printed, but it's not. It's like very clearly like a Spartan weapon. And that is supposed to be like, I'm assuming, like, is that the iconic, like, best Halo weapon? Is like,
well,
the white
what,
pistol?
What you're there, obviously there's copyright things involved here, so they couldn't call it what it's called. So they called it a Forerunner because there are enemies in Halo 4 and 5 that are just Forerunner enemies. That's just what they are. That's their background. But the and also Chief, like his armor and things like that, are said to be Forerunner, and there's lore to that. The gun you're talking about is called the Sidekick in Halo, and it is a very iconic weapon, because in the first Combat Evolved game, it was a one headshot. It was like a sniper rifle. If you could see them, you could kill them. Like, it was that powerful of a pistol. It didn't matter how they could be across Blood Gulch, and it didn't matter. Like, you headshot them, they're dead. And you're like, what did you just kill me with? You're like, oh, it's just my pistol, man. Like, no way. And then you just played with it forever. But yeah, they took liberties with it, adding like the loop and stuff, because it literally just looks like a sidearm, right? You know, so they called it a Sidekick. But yeah, that's what they did with Destiny, which I love the liberties they've taken. I've seen the designs on all of them, and I absolutely think it's amazing that they've kind of mashed those two together and just had fun with it, because it makes me want to play Destiny again.
Those rifles they have with like half a sword along the bottom, I saw pictures of those. Those look really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, they've done a good job of kind of translating it into like it looks really at home in Destiny, which has got like it's got that like Space Marine kind of style, but it is very like it's a lot more like future and kind of like it's almost like funky in a lot of ways. Like Destiny's got its own weird thing going on, which I really like. But yeah, from what I've heard, people are really pleased with what they've brought in and kind of hope they bring more, because I think it's a bit of a limited selection. But of course they brought in some really iconic stuff, so that is cool. And so are there any other new guns, new grenades? Like tell me about the grapple. The grapple is like the thing I think looked the coolest looking. Can you grapple to anything? Is it just points in the map? Like, is it for story specific sections, or are you just like Spider-Manning across levels in the middle
of
fight?
That's perfect, because like, I'm going to dial back and go to your first question, but I can answer both at the same time, because you wanted to know the impressions, and like my impression actually goes along with the grapple shot. And that is when you land on the Halo for the first time and the Pelican opens up and you see all of this for you.
The Halo is that massive ring, right?
It's that big circle.
That thing always looks cool. I've never really known what it was, but I've always thought like that is such like a that's like the money shot. Every time there's like a Halo, like it zooms out and you get that like beautiful space shot and there's that big ring. Like something about that is such a cool design.
Yeah, and there's literally a planet that exists on the inner side of that ring all the way around. So when you open up and you realize you're in a massive world and you're on foot, that was the first thing I was worried about. That was my number one concern. I'm like, how am I going to traverse this thing? This is going to be so terrible, you know? And I also thought that the grapple shot was just going to be like a pickup item and not something that's with me all the time. So I was extremely happily surprised that they included the grapple shot at all times. You have one shot all the time. It does have a cooldown, so you can then, you know, once the cooldown's gone, you can, you know, do it again, and you can upgrade the grapple shot to a point where the cooldown is very quick. You can get like two shots in within one jump or whatever you want to say. But that changed it for me, and I actually talked with some friends last night when we were playing, getting their input and stuff, and that's what helped them as well, is the fact that you're able to traverse. You could grab a tree, you could grab a wall, you could grab rocks. If there's something there, you can grab onto it, as long as it's not mobile. If you grab a weapon, it's just going to pull the weapon to you. If you grab an enemy, they're going to stand fast and, you know, you're going to go to them. But anything else, you're going to be able to go. And it made getting through the world quite a bit better than I expected. You know, Chief can run now, but that's a lot of running, because this game is enormous. Yes. It's like 1,000 times the size of Combat Evolved. It is insanely huge. So it was a big, big undertaking. But yes, the grapple shot's amazing. Absolutely love it. It is actually in like the first cutscene, he uses it. And I was like, okay, I have hope. I have hope. Because I didn't myself. I really was like, let me have this thing when I land or whatever happens. And they did. And it was the first thing I upgraded, you know, as far as I could. And then went from there with it. But it makes like you had mentioned earlier, James, and your impressions is just, it changes the game to a level where the age group that we need to be playing Halo right now, this hits right on the mark. It's a bullseye. Like, it's fast paced. It's fun. It's a little silly and quirky, and it has the right sort of like online multiplayer vibe to where anybody can play it. and it has bots available as well. So all of these things, like, you know, my son doesn't always want to play online. He wants to sometimes just play and learn the game, and he'll just tune into the bots and play. But overall, with what they've put in it, I think the grapple shot is the number one thing they put in the game that changed the way Halo feels. But it didn't change Halo. It just changed how it feels, because it had to, because you had to be able to traverse this enormous map that they give you.
Yeah, and it expanded it in such a great way. And I think that it's really allowed them to, like, the grapple shot itself is fun to use, but I think another bonus of it is just the way they've been able to expand, like, their map design and the world design, because you add that layer of verticality that just wouldn't have been possible without it. And it's just, I think that's, you know, this game I don't think would have worked open world if it didn't have that, just because you would be so limited in the way you get around, I think, like you mentioned before. So yeah, grapple hook is great. And just to
grapple
echo
shot.
What you said, grapple, damn it. grapple shot. Just to echo what you said though, like, when you grapple to an enemy and you kind of launch yourself at them, and when you grapple towards an enemy, you melee them as you're launching yourself towards, like, that is such a good feeling. I've done that. Like, I've been going out of my way to try and do that to as many enemies as possible during the campaign, just because of how satisfying it is to, like, zoom towards them and just pow right in the face, you know? And
it's we talked about spoilers, and we're not going to spoil anything, but I think we coined a frame. We're just going to, we coined, like, a phrase, that is grapple. Like, what did we say? Spoiler hook.
Spoiler hook. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Little mini things that just kind of tease you and get you intrigued to go play, but don't ruin the experience for you.
Right. But maybe it should be spoiler shot. You know,
grapple shot.
Spoiler shot. Right.
Right.
So
I like it. But James, it's not a spoiler hook. It's a spoiler shot.
Right. I'll listen, but only because you're hosting this one. Okay.
Now, the thing I was going to say, though, James, is if you love the melee on, you know, doing the old G shot, you can upgrade that. So as you continue, one of your last upgrades you get is actually, like, a ground pound at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So you can get to a guy and, like, just smash him to the ground. And it is super satisfying.
Yeah, that's something I think we should touch on here. And I was surprised by was that this game actually has like a pseudo skill tree kind of thing. Like, you can upgrade different abilities for Chief. And I didn't really see that coming. Throughout the world, there's different collectibles you can find, and you can spend them basically as skill points. And so I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I'm pretty early on in the campaign still, kind of just beat the first few missions and got to the open world portion. I had some save file stuff going on, so didn't play as much as I wanted, but I think that's adding a lot. Like, for me, I've been dying quite a bit. I found it pretty difficult so far. I'm playing on normal, just trying to get my bearings and stuff with the game, but I've found, like, I've upgraded my shield capacity, so I have, like, 15% more shield, just that extra survivability. But I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that I can't access yet. So it looks like there's actually, like, 7 or 8 different things you can put these points into. And I found, like, Halo's never had anything like that before, and so it was a nice surprise to see that there's upgrades too. And I'm sure that there's some pretty interesting stuff that we won't spoil. I'm sure Nick could speak to them on a later episode. that. But I mean, yeah, just the fact that there's that flexibility to how you want to play, like, the fact that you can increase your shield if you're a newer player like me, or if you want to go straight and upgrade that grapple shot. you can go ahead and do that too. The G shot. It sounds like the G shock watch. G shot.
It sounds like the energy drink you're drinking while you're playing Halo.
Sure.
There you go. That's perfect. That's a tie-in.
Sure.
There we go. Some branding for you guys. Okay, that's really cool. I'm picturing it then, because I hadn't heard that detail. I'm picturing it kind of like, is it like God of War's like skill tree kind of, or it just upgraded as
it's more like,
go?
Like, so,
like, is it that in depth?
So using the shield example, like what I got, there's kind of like a 5-step process where you can, like, do level 1, 2, 3, like, and you need a certain number of those cores or whatever you're picking up to put into the upgrades, I guess. Yeah, it's linear, right? It's not like the most expansive upgrade system you've ever seen, like, but I mean, considering that it's just extra flavor on top of what Halo never had before, I think that it's only good that they've included it.
Right. It's some customization, and then also some incentive to kind of, like, do some side stuff, explore a bit more, and kind of, like, you know, see what all the world has to offer. It kind of guides you in that way, I expect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe we'll kind of get into the world then as well, because I think that's maybe another big or new thing. Because for me, like, when I think of Halo, and maybe this is totally wrong and just some old school Halo, but I think of a very more like linear kind of game where you kind of like, you just sort of go through the story and it just kind of puts you like through all the missions in a set way, and you're living Chief's story. And obviously we'll do some not tons of spoilers now, because maybe that's for a later date, and I know James has to finish it. But so far, story missions, like, is it like, you know, are there a lot of side quests, things to do? Do you get distracted? Are you like mainlining it? You know, yeah. How satisfying is the story?
Let me take this one first, less to go, right. A lot less to say here. The story is, now I just want to say, like, story wise, the missions have been like, the first two missions I found were very much throwbacks to the original Halos. Like, you're in these tight corridors and you are, you know, it's like a very sci-fi, you're on a spaceship, you are going, you know, up elevators and gravity lifts and stuff. So it feels very, very what you know from Halo. And then obviously you get to the open world kind of after that. And that's kind of, I haven't done a whole lot, so I don't want to speak too much to it. But story-wise, like with the actual story itself, I feel like I'm quite lost, just because I don't know a lot of what's happened between like Halo 2 mm-hmm. and 3 to now. So, I mean, obviously some things have happened that are quite apparent to me that I need to do some research. But what I will say, I think we've been glowing so far. I do have one kind of negative point to do with the story so far, and like completely spoiler-free, but I just find that, and again, maybe it's my lack of context, but I don't love the new enemy faction that they've introduced so far. I find that they're just kind of like coming across as we're evil because we're evil kind of deal. And I feel like a lot of properties like games and movies and stuff are doing villains like, you know, Thanos, the classic example, kind of better motivations. And I'm sure that there's probably, you know, I have a lot of faith in the writing team here. And I think that people's impressions of this game have been really good. And it's probably going to be a very satisfying story. But for me, especially without that context, I feel a bit lost. The other thing about the story is that it tells a lot of the extra stuff through audio logs, and I don't like audio logs in games. So I feel like I'm just going to miss a lot of stuff because I just don't like having to listen to that while I'm playing, pretty much. Yeah. So those are kind of my gripes with that, but I'm sure Nick would have some more to say about the story.
Yeah, well, I can echo your audio logs, because I do feel the same way. I don't like audio logs in games. Just give me a slight cutscene or something, you know, that I can sit and watch, and I'll be a little bit more immersed with. Because especially in an open world, you're playing the game and you're also like, you know, dying a lot. So it's you got to pay attention if you get into an enemy camp after you pick up an audio log and you're listening to it while you're trying to not die. You're not going to really keep any of that information. I will not agree with you that the Banished are not good. And the reason is I've played 4 and 5, and those stories, I'm sorry, were not good at all. The enemy types, it was a convoluted mess, and it just did not flow well at all. This so far, and you're not through it yet, so I think you'll change your mind. I really do. I think if you do your research and you catch up to where you are here in Infinite, and then finish the game, I think you'll actually have a better time with this group of bad guys. But I like their motivation. Their motivation got better as the story continued. I did finish it. I mainlined the story because that's what I do with every Halo. I want to see the story, and then I go play or I replay in higher difficulties or something. I liked these guys because they made more sense, because their motivation was simple. Like, very simple motivation. And I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But the motivation for, like, say, you know, the Covenant was this enormous motivation. Like, you know, they're blinded by, you know, their religion and, you know, what the Halos actually are going to do. And they're not actually listening, you know, to the facts that what the Halos are going to do is they're going to wipe out everybody ever. Like, that's what they are. They're huge, enormous machines that are going to kill anything that is organic life in the universe. So theirs was just this enormous thing that had so many little reasons inside of each game as to why they're doing what they're doing. And then, you know, and it just got really messy in 4 and 5 when they involved the Forerunner, you know, comes back. And then there's just the deities, and it just got stupid. Like, it's just, there was just too much.
It's a little convoluted, right?
little yeah, for me, even yeah. me to follow as a huge fan, you know, and a lot of all of my buddies and people we talked to in the Halo community were all the same way. It was unanimous that like, what the hell happened? What did they do here? You know, we love being Chief. We love playing as him, but that was really the only love we kept with those two games. And this story is just better in pretty much all aspects. There were, you know, parts to it. Like I was hoping for, you know, more of like a, you know, centralized, okay, we're done, move on. And, you know, they don't answer every question, but I think we know why they do that in anything. They want potential to make more, right? You know, yeah, I get DLC. It. I'm not going to DLC or something. Exactly. And the game is called Halo Infinite. You know, it could go forever, you know? So
yeah,
I did really enjoy the story. The pilot is one of the guys that I related to less. And I think that is different than what they expected in, you know, people playing. Everything I've kind of read, and I was just kind of like, what's the point of this guy? Like, why they really even trying to involve him so much? And from what I understand, like, you know, they were trying to give like that human element because it's missing. And this is one of the qualms I have with the game as far as like the campaign were to go, is you land on a Halo that is full of Marines that also need to be saved, and they're also scared, and they're also, what the hell's going on? You know, all these terrible things have happened up until now, but they leave the Marines completely out of the story. Like, you know, they don't get involved in any way. And that was a big miss for me, because I think that if they would have somehow had Chief team up, you know, with a set of Marines and just have them help in certain story points, that would have made sense. But they only have this one pilot, and it was supposed to be, you know, humanizing, you know, Halo somewhat to get the gist of what has happened in the previous games and how it's affected, you know, humanity. And just to get it from one character is just kind of strange. You know, he's really the only character that Chief interacts with besides the weapon, which is a, you know, AI. Mm-hmm. So I miss that about Halo and being able to have, you know, a Pelican full of Marines that are your buddies. Like, I mean, you're out there doing your job with them, trying to be part of a team. There's not really a team feeling in the campaign, and there really was team feeling in the previous games. So that's kind of what I'm saying. I was real little remiss that was gone. So
yeah, it's interesting. I wonder, oh, go ahead, Kate.
I was gonna say, I wonder if that is like a product of the style of like more open world and more like player choice and like the less like linear type of story, because like then you got to write in like, all right, Marines, like this is your main focus, but actually like we're gonna go farm some like XP over there, or actually like, you know, like, you yeah. know, someone lost their watch, I'm gonna go find that first, like whatever the side quests are. Well, and so like, you know, sometimes it's harder to do that in like a you know, you lose the immersion, or it's harder to do that in like a team-based thing versus like, you know, Chief's just on his own, he's kind of able to like pick and choose to do. Or
well, you know, for maybe, you, I don't know if not that's playing any of the previous Halos, I guess. And for some of the listeners that maybe, you know, haven't played, yeah, you guys are majority of PlayStation, you know, shows, so I get it. Even Halo 1, Combat Evolved, had a level called the Silent Cartographer, which was an open world. Like, it was one enormous level, and you got to go in any order you wanted. You had to go to certain areas to like save a team that had just a downed Pelican somewhere, and you had to, you know, kill two hunters, which are these enormous just laser wielding assholes, you know what I mean? Like, they just are really hard to kill, and you had to go there and do that. You could do that first or last or whatever, you kind of got to choose. But when you would go into like an interior level inside the Halo, you would find like a group of Marines in there who would be like hunkered down trying to kill grunts and elites, and you would help them kill them. And then they would jump on your Warthog and they would be your teammates now. And you would be going through the story part of it with them, and they would be talking to you. And I mean, this is a game that's 20 years old, guys. So it really, I was sad that was gone, because they would say stuff that was either funny or it was just cool banter. You felt like you were part of the Marines. And, you know, they'd be like, you know, Chief's here, or like, no, we need to give Chief's back, or hey, I need help over here, I got grunts, hey, I got that one, that guy's dead, you know, like, take that, you know, and you know, they just get, you know, they get more.
Yeah, it really makes it like a living, breathing kind of world feel, like, you know, other characters outside of you, and they, you know, they have their own feelings and they exist, and that is really cool. Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to piggyback off that a little bit and say, you know, even having played a lot less Halo than you, I can totally, like, those are some of the coolest parts in Halo to me, playing the original campaigns, like those original three, is those moments of, like, you know, that you're in a Warthog and there's a guy in the turret and then there's another bunch of guys with you and all that kind of stuff. And it makes me a little disappointed to hear that that doesn't really happen, because I was looking forward to that kind of thing, especially since I think that so far a lot of the writing and the banter has been really strong in this game. And you know, especially like the grunts, they're so funny. It's like some of the dialogue,
the grunts are hilarious.
Some of the dialogue lines they have to say to you, they're like, oh my god, I'm gonna kill you, you shouldn't kill me, or like they just scream and run away. Like there's just so many lines and they're just so like quivering in fear that you're Master Chief. And like, you know, I would have loved to see that same level of writing and like, you know, put towards Marines that were actually going back and forth with you during the missions as well. So that is disappointing to hear, for sure.
And you know, and it could have been done, because what I was gonna do is go back to what you had mentioned, James, about like, you know, it being kind of a linear campaign, and like you find an area and then you go inside somewhere. That's how they make the campaign work, is you're not doing the campaign in the open world so much. There's a couple of them that I'll say, you know, happen a little later where you kind of are in the open world area of it, but otherwise you're kind of going into a tower or a spire or whatever, and that's when you're doing these things. And they could have easily implemented, you know, Marines doing the same thing, getting into these spires and trying to take them and help you out, or you need to help them, and then they would just kind of team up with you. But that only happens in this Halo campaign. Not, I can't say it even happens in the campaign. It happens in this Halo game in the open world settings. That's it. You know, you'll find them in the middle of a fight, or they've been captured and you have to, you know, resecure them and set them free. And then they'll join you and your team. But it was a big loss, because the dialogue is usually pretty great. And there's a lot of like rare dialogue. There's a skull that lets you turn on rare dialogue as like an Easter egg. Mm-hmm. And you might kind of miss that kind of stuff. I just miss the camaraderie of being able to drive a Warthog and have a couple dudes on it with me and going through a level, or even just going through the level and having three or four Marines with me on foot. Because it just added that whole, like, you know what, we're going to go do this. You know, it was just more of a singular feel.
And speaking on that camaraderie front as well, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is one of the first, if not the first Halo games that doesn't have a multiplayer campaign. Is that correct?
Not yet.
What I've heard?
It has multiplayer coming. It's not ready yet.
It is coming. Okay. So do you think that will, I mean, obviously it's going to be more fun to play with a buddy. It just always, that's sure, how video games work. Will that change the campaign, do you think, or is it just like new people, maybe the enemy has more health and like maybe there's more of them? Like, do you think it fits into this game? Like it seems like the multiplayer aspect is just, it's not ready, it's missing, or do you think they're trying to like figure out a way to put it into the framework that they've got right now?
Maybe. I'm glad you said that. I mean, that gives me a little more hope, actually, because I wasn't even thinking about that aspect, because that's the way we've always played in the past, is like we just jump in and play heroic or legendary together, four of us or something. So, yeah, the fact that I can play with my friends later would definitely help, you know, with that whole feeling. But there's some parts of it that I noticed, for example, and this goes to your question about adding it later. James, you'll remember this, where you could get on the gunner of a Warthog and you would have an AI drive the Warthog, and you would just
actually, AI, that was even drive, the more fun to do it, the more fun way to do
right,
it.
Right. It was, it absolutely was. And I got to a point in the game last night where I was like, okay, the AI is doing what they can, but they're not shooting at what I would shoot at. I need to get on the turret. You guys need to drive. So I got on the turret and I had two Marines with me that I had found. And it was in one of those areas where it is open world, but it's still mission. The AI does not drive. They won't get in the vehicle and drive. Mm. So I don't think that is completed yet. I'm hoping they do complete that and they put it in as one of the add-ons or something and let people know, because that was more fun to me too, James. Like, I absolutely loved doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And they would have better, like, there'd be better banter too, because they would be driving and I would be shooting in the older games, and you know, you would kill somebody like, nice one, Chief, you know, like, and they, you know, there's always that going on. It was so good.
Yeah, I wonder if this kind of stuff is like a I feel like that's the kind of thing that Halo people really do appreciate. And so it's kind of a curious thing to have left out of the game. I wonder if this is a symptom of the delay and just, you know, they could only work on so much. Like, that's obviously why the campaign is not co-op to start. Like, co-op campaign is maybe the most iconic way to play Halo, even more so than the multiplayer. Or like at least on par with the multiplayer for some people. And so the fact that that wasn't ready and they don't have the marine banter and like the marines don't drive the vehicles, I wonder if those are just the necessary cuts that they had to make to get the rest of the game to be so, you know, polished up and fun to play, ready for release, and then just add the rest of it later, you know. Like, I wonder how much that affected it.
I think it did too.
It would be cool to find out. I wonder if it'll get covered at all, because they're making that Halo documentary, I think. So I'd be interested to see how it's covered for Infinite, because from what we have heard, like, seen as an audience, it had a very tumultuous development period. I think they changed like some major staff on the game, if I remember, and you know,
a few times.
It was, you know, like, we saw that those like footage, there was that grunt that went around the internet and everyone had a good laugh over him, and it just
Craig,
that's right. And we miss Craig. I hope he shows up in some kind of little Easter egg.
He is an Easter egg in the game. So in the first tower, you go look. Just, I'm not going to tell anybody, but you go look around the first tower, you'll find some pretty fun stuff
about
Craig.
that's awesome. You know what? So that's why there's no co-op yet. We had to put Craig in first. And you know what? I respect that decision. But it seems like it was kind of a rough go in development. But I'm glad you guys are having fun with it. It looks like, you know, it's not perfect, but they're on the right track at least. I think maybe I want to get to some multiplayer as well before we head out for the day. So we'll do that. I'm wondering if there's any other kind of, if anyone has like a last minute thought, like something you really wanted to get out about the single player and it just hasn't been the right time. So this is that moment, and then maybe we'll talk some Infinite multiplayer.
Yeah, I got one thing which I would love to say. First of all, I just want to say, well, two things, actually. Number one, the checkpointing is really great. And I think this is something that Halo's always done really well, is like, you never have to waste a lot of time like going through the same part of a level again if you die a lot. That's something I appreciate in any game that gives me good checkpoints, whether it's platformer, shooter, whatever it is. Like, Halo's got good checkpoints, so I really appreciate that. The scan function, very, very helpful, because it is an open world. Some of these environments are very big. You can just press down on your D-pad and you get this like yellow kind of vision that goes all around, and it highlights all the weapons on the ground and ammo pickups and, you know, little interactable stuff. And it just makes it a lot easier to find things in when it otherwise might not be. And so it's a really nice quality of life thing there. And then finally, I just want to say, like, man, I forgot how cool the lore of Halo is. Like, I was just playing this one mission, and it's very, very light spoilers, but I mean, Chief has the AI built into his suit. That's how he communicates with his AI.
Right.
Whoever it is, but she gets, like, they're on a chip in the back of his helmet. And there's just like some really cool world building of, like, at one point she says to him, she's like, you know, Chief, I can actually smell something in the environment, she mentions. And she's like, yeah, I can, the sensors in your armor, I can analyze the data and I can familiarize myself with like what this smells like, even though she's like, she's a piece of data. I just find like that level of detail of like giving her, or like, you know, the AI, that kind of tangible connection to the outside world is just very cool.
Yeah, that is definitely some cool technology. And I think that's kind of what, like, Halo's got that setting, right? Like, the whole space marine, like, so many games have done it, but Halo is, like, quintessential. And you make me believe that maybe there's another Cortana that I don't know about, but my computer says that Cortana is the main one.
Listen, because sometimes we're verging on some spoiler territory by talking about that character, okay?
Exactly. So maybe let's abandon ship on that, and we'll get to some multiplayer. Now, I was hoping to have played it in time for this, but plans fell through. It didn't end up working out. But I've heard that this is really the best place to get into it. People are loving it. I've heard you can buy blue for $8, and that's exciting. Tell me about this. I've heard, aren't the microtransactions just like really inflated?
About the color blue?
The color blue, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Color blue, $3.
Good deal. Really good deal. It's like $10 for a knife. Pretty smoking deal. Yeah. That's sarcasm, guys. It's awful. The microtransactions are awful.
Yeah. It's bad. I mean, the game is free. The multiplayer is free. So mm-hmm. I find that it's, you know, as egregious as and expensive as some of those things are on the Battle Pass, I think that at least you're not paying $60 to also play the multiplayer or whatever it is. You know, you can kind of understand it a little bit more because, I mean, it's just mm-hmm. a color. Like, it's a first-person game. If you don't want to spend $8, don't spend your $8 and just play the game for free. Right. You know? Like, it,
yeah.
But at the same time, like, yeah. And I mean, there's been a lot of complaints about the Battle Pass. And, I mean, they've worked to improve it a lot. Like, they've... I think there's still a long ways to go, but it definitely is better. I'm sure you'll probably agree with me there, Nick, about, like, you know, your first win of the day is not just worth 50 experience now. It's actually worth, like, 300. And
yeah, that was a game changer.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's definitely a lot better than it was before, Battle Pass-wise. But, I mean, I would imagine you're feeling the same as me, Nick. Like, the multiplayer has been fantastic. It's just the 4v4 mode, I think, is really a game changer for me. I love it so much more than the big team battle stuff. I just think that those smaller teams and, like, playing modes like Capture the Flag and like, Oddball, when you're on a team of only four people, it's like when you take someone out, like, you're really affecting the way the battle is going more so than those bigger matches when it's like, well, I could have just gotten, like, a, you know, running riot and yet the other team captured the flag because they're across the other side of the map. Like, it's not quite as tangible, like, your effect on the match. So, I mean, that's where I've been getting the most of my enjoyment from.
Yeah, I absolutely love the multiplayer. clearly, I've been playing it since the beta released. And I was thankfully, you know, I got into the original two betas before they were open betas. They were closed betas. And I was able to get into those and just see it kind of grow from there and all the changes they made. And, you know, they made some for the, you know, good and some weren't so good. You know, the microtransactions were just insane. But microtransactions aside, just the game, totally free. If you want to run around as a gray Spartan and just earn everything, do it. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be disappointed. It is amazingly fun. The weapons are all just so good. They did a mode called Fiesta mode. Very beginning, oh my gosh, in the very beginning when that launched, I was a little disappointed. I was like, oh man, just random weapons all the time, this is ridiculous, I don't want to do random weapons. And I'll tell you what, guys, playing the multiplayer for as long as I did, which I have about 50, I have a little over 50 hours in the multiplayer, and I had about 11 hours in the campaign, 11 and a half. I played on normal as well, like James said. So it really makes you good with a lot of weapons you don't use. Yeah. And you realize you're actually pretty good with these weapons. You do the actual go get good situation. I absolutely hated the pulse carbine before Fiesta, and I'm pretty damn good with the pulse carbine now. So
it's a good weapon.
Is a good weapon. So that tracker, man, I mean, you aim it, it tracks. That's how it goes. I love that.
Is that one in the Hydra too? With the Hydra's homing rockets? Like, that's a good weapon.
Yep.
Too.
The lock on homing ones, and then the cinder shot is another one that a buddy of mine still hates it, but I'm like, dude, you're not doing it right. You got to aim down the sights and you can actually control the orbs that, you know, explode, and just, you can literally hit guys in the back when you shoot at them from the front if you do it right. Yeah. So it's
very
pretty
cool
crazy
weapon.
It's very, very cool. There's so many good things.
I think the only weapon I was going to say that I really don't enjoy using is the shock rifle, like that electric sniper or whatever.
Yes,
it is.
That's the same one.
I can't hit people with that gun. I do not know. Well, I don't know what the problem is. Like, I just cannot do it. And every time I got that
rifle
in Fiesta, I'm just like, you know, oh man, I may as well just go jump off the side of the map. Like, I'm in respawn with something new.
Now, is this for that seems to be everyone, or do you just get killed by it all the time and you have no idea how people are doing it?
Nobody uses it. I've never been killed by it. No, I don't think anyone's ever actually connected a shot with that weapon.
No, it is terrible. When they give you the challenges, I do like the challenges, especially the fact that they changed it, because it was just like, you know, 50 points, except for when you actually completed a challenge, you would get maybe like 100 to 400, I think it was. But now it's literally just like playing matches. You'll start off at 300 and then it just goes down. I think it's 300 and then 200, 200, 100, 100, and then it goes into 50. After that, but you can also be completing challenges when you're doing that, and you can use your double XP if you get those, because you actually don't have to buy those. You can earn those just from playing through the game. They give them to you as you level up, which is very cool. And they overall made it just smoother of a transition for someone like me to be able to play and grade because like I'm not a Fortnite guy, I'm not a microtransactions guy. I like Halo for what Halo is, and they did an excellent job with the balance of the same thing. Like I mentioned earlier, like they've made Halo hit a bullseye on the aspects of everything they're looking for. They want to make sure everybody's having fun, and they're doing their best at changing that. But I'm really happy with how the multiplayer is going, and it started off really good on the right foot. And I think they're making the right changes for their audience and the people they're listening to their audience, which is great. They're going to be adding, this is the biggest thing I was disappointed about, guys. And that is they did not have Slayer as an option to start with. I mean, like, come on, what's wrong with you guys? That's all we had when we first got Halo. It was just Slayer. So they're adding that. I did read, reading up for the podcast and just soon, reading Halo like I do. Yeah, they said that it will be after the 14th, but before Christmas. So you guys should be seeing it coming up here within a week or so from what they're trying to line up. Now, the reason for that is they were planning to put a Slayer out that was going to be a ton of options. They were going to put out like a plethora of Slayer stuff inside of the Slayer mode. But now what they're going to do is just give you Slayer mode, and then they're going to just trickle out all of the optional modes later. I think they should have done that from the get-go, but I don't know if they thought they were going to get this much of a backlash to start with Slayer.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because I mean, I've actually really enjoyed playing the variety of game modes, which is interesting for me, because usually in pretty much any game, I'm always just Deathmatch or Slayer, like, you know, whatever that mode is. Like, I don't particularly like Capture the Flag and stuff, but for some reason... Free for all, oh my god. For some reason though, Halo to me is like the one where I actually do want to play those different game modes. And I don't know if it's something about just the way the game plays, but for me, like, CTF is really fun in Halo. I sincerely enjoy it, and like capturing all the points and in those kind of like ground control modes, tons of
strongholds.
Fun. Yeah, those are great times, and especially if you have like a squad you're playing with and you're on mic and all that kind of stuff. You know, with the multiplayer though, got a shout out. We haven't brought it up yet. The greatest feature in Halo of all time, in my opinion, is the multiplayer announcer.
yes.
Something about it, like, it just makes you feel so fucking good when he tells you, like,
it does.
You know, double kill, killing spree. Like, you're just like, yes, like, yes. You feel so good about yourself. And like, you know, I've had some matches where it's like, you know, I've got 16 deaths and then I go on a killing spree right at the end. And I just feel good about myself because you get the medal that pops up and it's like you're earning a little achievement and he's talking to you. And it's just like so hype for some reason. I don't know what it is. It's like, it's that perfect mix of like nostalgia because it's been the same announcer since the inception of the series. And it just takes you back in the same way as it does, you know, pulling out any of those iconic weapons from Halo 1. But you get the announcer yelling those things at you during the match, and he's got a lot to say sometimes. You know, you can gain the lead, lost the lead, double kill, like, lost the lead, like there's all this kind of stuff. And it's just
flag,
like,
return flag
but it's fantastic. I just can't get enough of that announcer. I there's no other games that really do that. Like, it's very,
that's exactly where I wanted to go with this. Yeah, you're bringing that up, man. Like, not to say that I only play Halo. Halo is by far my favorite first-person shooter. I've never seen it in any other first-person shooters that I've played in any of the multiplayer modes.
I think like Quake has it or something. Like, that's the only other one or like some version of that, but not to the same extent though. Not at all to the same extent.
Gotcha. And I played some Quake way back in PS2 days, so I didn't play a whole lot. I wasn't on PC or anything back then, so that makes sense. But yeah, it's kind of quintessential iconic Halo now. Like, you hear somebody say something while you're playing and that reminded me of Halo. And the guy is amazing. He does really make you feel like I got to keep going. Like, you get a killing spree and you're like, got to get the Killtacular. Let's keep going. Yeah, let's keep you going.
I have got one Killtacular.
Perfect blend of like one Killtacular. How many kills is a Killtacular?
That's 10, right?
10 in a row without dying. Yep.
Okay. 10 in a row. That's
I have
got tough,
one
but...
as well before.
I don't know
right,
how
we'll
I did it, to be
honest.
We'll see
if you guys can get another one by the time we come back for the spoiler version. But I think it the announcer, too, he writes that, like, perfect line of, like, it's so goofy and so stupid and so silly and funny, but it's also badass. And, like, it's not easy to get both of those things at the same time, but, like, it's that perfect, just, like, cheesy but so cool.
It's kind of like what we thought about Gears of War, Kate, when we were playing that a few months ago. Like, it's so over the top and, like, verging on like, hey, this is cool, and like, you know, look how tough we are. And I think it was that earlier on, and now it's turned into something else, and it's almost like a joke of itself, but it's still cool.
Yeah, it's like they recognize cool. that it's silly and funny. Like in Gears of War, they did not intend for it to be funny. They were like just badasses, and it's like, we're gonna go murder them, like just like complete like ridiculous, but like in a serious way, because they're like, well, they're tough guys, that's how tough guys talk. And I think with Halo now, it's like, well, they know kind of just how ridiculous and silly it is, and so like they're gonna play that up a little bit.
No, it's amazing. Like it is Halo. Like without that guy, I don't think the game would feel the same at all.
No, it would. Would get slammed if it didn't have that announcer. I think that would be like, there'd be articles upon articles you'd see on the internet. Like, Halo is just not the same without the announcer. And it's so true.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is as infinite and timeless as this game, hopefully. But anyways, this was a ton of fun. I don't know if either of you guys have any closing thoughts that you really wanted to shout out. But I think at this point, you know, like, you guys just need to go play some more Halo. What are you guys doing here talking to me? Go play some Halo.
Hey, that might be the plan later. You never know.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I will say, like, as far as if I get the chance to do some closing thoughts, is there's a couple things that I wanted to just at least make known, being a huge Halo fan, that I was a little bit disappointed about. But that was, you're not able to drop vehicles wherever you want in a giant world like this. You have to go to a forward operating base or the FOBs that you have to capture. I thought that was a little bit of a bummer. I'm hoping they'll change that or update that as time goes, because you have a guy who drops it off with a Pelican. Hello. They can go anywhere. So
that doesn't really make any sense.
It doesn't. Right? It makes
no
sense.
It's like those bicycle rentals. You can rent the bicycle in the city, but then you got to take it back to the specific bicycle place. It's like,
it's like, oh, I got to go to this thing that's here, that's on the map, that tells the guy I need a vehicle, but doesn't my helmet talk to him all the time? That's really strange. So anyway, that was just something that's I was kind of wanted to, these are like my nitpicky nitpicks, you know what I mean? So the soundtrack is so good in Halo. It is so good. Without it, it wouldn't be Halo, and there's not enough of it in the campaign, guys. Like, I wanted to just turn the soundtrack on and just blare it in my house while I'm playing, because it only comes in like maybe 10% of the campaign, and it just doesn't feel like Halo from the day. Like, and you get on a Warthog in Halo, like 90% of the time, the music just starts, and it just didn't do that. So that was a little bit of a bummer. Even my buddies agreed with that tonight. And then real quickly, the grapple shot should shoot about 2 foot further. Because I couldn't tell you how many times I'm clicking the right bumper, like, damn it. And I just had to take like 2 steps further, and then he grabbed what I was looking at. So, of those little things, like that. But, Halo is Halo. It's back. If you have played 4 and 5 and you were like, I'm done with the series, and you're listening to this podcast, go back in. Cause you're going to go back in. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're probably even going to love what's going on. And, you know, for me being a huge, you know, 20 plus year guy on Halo, I'm all in again with Halo. I feel like I'm 19 years old again, and it's just amazing. It's amazing to be podcasting with you guys and talking Halo, and I'm just loving myself right now. This is great. Loving life.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nick. We could not have done this without you. I can only imagine the troubles that that Jane, I would have had.
I would have been furiously reading Wikipedia and trying to learn about.
That's right. This would have been Halo's for Dummies. We're going to learn too. But yeah, this is an absolute blast. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. So thank you so much for joining us. Everyone, let us know what you feel about the new Halo. You know, if you're new, if you think the grapple shot is the best thing in the world, or if it should be called the grapple hook, maybe see if anyone supports games over here. And let us know if you guys would want a spoiler version, maybe once. Maybe we'll reconvene for something like that in the future. But for now, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we really appreciate all you guys, and just love getting together to talk about some games. So links below, obviously, for Nick, Loud Thumbs Podcast. I think you can find him on every platform that you've ever heard of. I hear he's the first page of Google if you search Loud Thumbs as well.
And, how about Boomer has it? So you can search Bing too, and I bet it's first page on Bing also.
Yeah,
like if you go and ask Jeeves about the loud thumbs, it'll take you right there. So please go check him out. And again, thanks for listening. We will see you next time.